This is the Rare Witch Roundtable, episode 20 for August 7th, 2009. I Ain't No Minion. To the 20th and final episode of Season 1 of the Rare Witch Roundtable, the premier podcast about Rare, Xbox and the Rare Witch Project forums. From Victoria, Australia, I'm Calvin Getley, and with me today we have Aaron Haslam, Gruntling, from Mesa, Arizona.
Hello.
We have Larry Keller, Bottles 98, from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hello.
We also have Rich Henry, Grey Jinjo, from Rochester, New York.
Hello.
And joining us for the second time this season, we have Alan Pierce, Ice Mario, the founder of the Rare Witch Project from the UK.
Hey, you guys!
Our number two news article this week.
Games on Demand launch titles have been announced for the upcoming Xbox dashboard update. And on the list includes Rare favourites like Cameo, Elements of Power, Perfect Dark Zero, Viva Pinata and Viva Pinata 2.
What I found interesting about this was the fact that four out of Rare's five 360 titles are here as launch titles for this thing. Interesting that there's so many of them, and yet it's missing Banjo.
Well, it's only missing Banjo for now. Maybe it'll be on there later on.
Or not.
I would think that they would have left off Trouble in Paradise, because I would try to milk the people that would buy Viva Pinata 1. And then introduce them to Viva Pinata 2 later, because releasing them simultaneously, I imagine most people are going to go for the latest one. I mean, it's not like a plot-driven game where you have to know the backstory of Pinata Island from the first one or anything. It's pretty much just a fully upgraded version of the former game, so I don't know. I think they might be shooting themselves in the foot with this one.
Would there even be any reason to buy the original with Trouble in Paradise on there? Because it's the same game, except improved, so...
Yeah, that's my point. I would have waited on Trouble in Paradise so that people had a reason to buy the first one. But I guess that's a money-grubbing whore way of looking at it, not a legitimate way, so... I don't know.
Well, if I didn't already have the two Viva Pinata games, I'd buy them both.
Well, yeah, but you represent a very, 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 very small percentage of the planet, the Aussie Extreme Rare Fanboy Collective. Made up of you and your three pet kangaroos and your rooster that keeps going off in the background. Only one of you has opposable thumbs, so you're not a big market.
Any other games that you're looking forward to coming out that you hope will be added to the list?
I'd buy Viva Pinata. Was it Party Animals? Was that the party game?
I think so.
Oh, the Chrome Studio one.
Yeah, I'd buy that one if it was $10 USD.
Do you guys know if these titles are any cheaper or they're just $50 or $60? Well, American. I don't know about you guys.
A couple of them are $20, a couple of them are $40, and then there's some fluctuation after that.
Yeah, but downloads should always be cheaper, though, I think. It's like on Steam. You know, you get the games cheaper because you haven't actually got the physical media.
Yeah, you would think the packaging price that they save and everything would make them make it cheaper, but...
Yeah, well, it's the whole retail pipeline, isn't it, as well? They're not having to do anything at all.
I think the problem they're running into is they're trying to jack up their Xbox Live Arcade games and make them $15 to $20, but at the same time, they're coming up with this system, so it's hard to make full 360 retail games $15 downloadable and then have little tiny arcade games be $15 downloadable. Like,
yeah,
one's kind of undermining the quality of the other. Like, Puzzle Quest is $20. I mean, if you can get a full game for $15, who's going to go buy Puzzle Quest?
People who like Puzzle Quest?
Well, yeah, but I mean, besides those 10.
And number one news article this week.
Is the Xbox 360 Pro being phased out soon? There was a hint a couple months ago that the console package might not be around for much longer, and the new arcade boxes seem to be confirming that rumor, if you want to call it that. When listing the console packages and comparing it to the other editions, there's only the arcade and elite versions. The pro is nowhere to be seen.
Well, I certainly hope that if they phase out the pro, they reduce the price of the elite, because that's the version I bought last Christmas, was the pro. And the arcade version didn't really interest me, and the elite version was too expensive. So if they're getting rid of the pro, I think that it would be in their best interest for a lot of people if they reduced the price of the elite.
Yeah, what has the Elite got compared to the Pro? It's got a bigger hard drive and HDMI output, doesn't it?
That's about it.
The Pro has HDMI output.
Oh, do the new ones have the HDMI output?
Are you sure? My Pro didn't come with an HDMI cable.
Well, mine has it. Oh, you just mean the cable?
Yeah.
Oh,
like, they're all capable of HDMI, I think.
Oh, okay, I didn't know what you meant then. Yeah. I think it's also got different chips.
That's all of them.
Oh, well, there's me being stupid again.
Now, you being stupid would be like, that's a waggle moat.
So basically, there's not a lot of difference between the Elite and the Pro, so it wouldn't be unrealistic to see the price come down.
I don't think so, especially because you can get 1 terabyte external hard drives for $100, and the price jump between the Elite and the Pro is pretty expensive. I mean, I imagine they can throw the, 120 megabyte hard drive on for a lot cheaper than they are now. Shouldn't be much more than the arcade.
Okay, so we'll move on to Forum Watch now. Larry, why don't you start us off this week?
My thread this week is Stop and Swap versus Call of Duty's Nazi Zombie Story, posted in Miss Gaming Discussion by Bregalbeak. And, well, quite obviously, it asked the question, which was the better used marketing device, Stop and Swap, the Nazi Zombie Story, or are both equal? Or, no, wait, I forgot, there's the magical other option. As if it wasn't unrelated enough, now you can get even more unrelated. Why do people post things like this?
What can you say about it?
Not a whole lot, I suppose.
You can answer the poll.
Wonder how someone came up with this. Well, I'm going to say that Nazi zombies, though I don't see the comparison, are probably better.
Yeah, at least it serves a purpose, doesn't it? Whereas Stop and Swap doesn't.
Exactly.
They don't have a lot of rivals, though, do they? I mean, like, Nazi zombies implies they revive from the dead. I imagine the Jews' ash doesn't, like, reform into zombies or anything, so who do you fight? I've never played Nazi zombies in Call of Duty. You just go around killing more Jews?
No, see, that sounds like it would be fun for the whole family.
Okay, well, moving on. Ice, what's your thread for this week?
Are you bossing me around, Calvin? Are you telling me that I'm going next?
Yes, I am indeed.
Okay.
Because I ain't no minion.
I ain't no bitch! Right. The thread that I've chosen this week is DK64 Kiosk Restoration Project, and that's in the Homebrew Forum. And what it is, Rune Hero is basically trying to get a working version of the Kiosk ROM so that we can check all the beta stuff that's in there. Now, the problem at the moment is that because Rare removed all the background and sounds, which are like the biggest parts of the game, you can't actually play a lot of the levels. So what he's doing is he's taking the background and the music from the retail version of the game to pad out the Kiosk ROM. So then hopefully they'll be able to play it as it was back in the early days. So there might be a lot of beta stuff in there that you can actually see, which I think is quite good and deserves exposure. So that's my thread.
So does the data for the areas exist? It's just that the backgrounds aren't there, or?
As far as I know, it's the background models are not existing in the game. you're in the kiosk one. I think the textures as well, probably, and the music. So obviously all the backgrounds will come from the retail version, but there'll be like models and, you know, different things in the kiosk version that will be beta.
Is there like some rationale to this? Like, why do they have all of the, I guess, collision detection and everything in the level set up, but they don't have any of the actual background images or songs in there?
No, they won't have that. I think the main thing is they're trying to see other beta things, like beta items, you know, maybe characters. I don't know. I've not really looked into it, but...
But won't they not have textures anyway? So wouldn't it be redundant? Like, why would they be left in, but the rest of the stuff was taken out? Or not put in, or whatever?
Well, the backgrounds were removed for space. And obviously, if there's other characters or items that are in there, they've probably just been left in there. So they'll be accessible. The only thing they're doing is bringing in the retail background objects so that you can actually play and see the beta items and stuff.
I mean, more specifically, like, why is there an issue with space? I mean, obviously, the retail version has all the backgrounds and that, and it's fine. Why did space matter for the kiosk?
Well, because it's a demo. They took out what wasn't needed.
Yeah, it's a demo, but, I mean, it's on the same medium. So it's not like they needed to conserve space.
It's not, because the demo ones are, like, a smaller size.
Oh, are they? Why?
I don't know. Cheaper.
Okay.
And plus, well, I think you can write onto them as well. Like, you can get cartridges you can just constantly write to.
Oh, okay.
So maybe they're just cheaper.
All right, that's what I was looking for. Cheaper.
Cheap sons of bitches.
Well, aren't they, like, breaking open their piggy banks over there? So them saving money earlier probably helped them out now. Stop foreclosure.
Okay, moving on then. Gray, what's your thread for this week?
My thread is the thread to end all threads, and that's not an adjective, that's the actual name of the thread. I don't know, it's posted by some fag in the RWP chan, and it starts off with a very sad picture of a giraffe recently decapitated via biplane, and I think it's a pretty interesting start. It makes you sad, it brings you down, makes you want to read on, and then it goes on to... The second part of the thread has a news article about a company that used two Wiimotes and a concave mirror to kind of create a hologram projector, kind of like there's 3D projectors in sci-fi movies and that. So it actually looks like there's a ball floating in the air even though there's nothing there, which I thought was kind of cool. I thought it was kind of weird that they used a Wiimote of all things. Like, this seems like next-generation CERN-type shit, and they're using... two little Playtale video game wands, but I don't know, I think it's pretty cool that it worked. There's a video to that.
Yeah, it must just be said, though, the fag that created the thread actually fucked up the link on there.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is quite fucked. Actually, no, you know what's fucked? The wanker who set up the YouTube tags that broke the link to the thread.
Touché.
I'll tell the fag to edit the thread so that it's acceptable. The shitty YouTube tags are gone. The fag's quick. I guess it's all the practice being a fag. I don't know. All right, afterwards is a picture of the best country in the modern world anyway. And then it goes on to two lesbians, which is pretty good. Not the best looking lesbians, but still very acceptable lesbians. And then a big fucking tank that's shooting a missile... like, with such fucking force that it's blowing up the tank that's shooting the missile. That's pretty hardcore when you have firearms that destroy the thing that launches the firearms. Then it kind of closes up a little bit with an article about a guy who is just minding his own business. He's on top of, you know, a mountain. He was with his family. They were camping out. And then a big mountain lion came. They took a chainsaw and they fought, like, in... a really shitty, rare, side-scrolling fighting game. And then, I don't know, I kind of like this thread because I can't imagine fighting off a mountain lion, let alone with a chainsaw. So, probably would have dropped the chainsaw and ran personally, but I guess his plan was better. And then it finishes on a positive note, just when you're down on the dumps thinking, man, you know, poor giraffe's dead. Lesbians could be a little bit better looking. The men that launched the missile died. And I'll never have the balls that the mound lion fighter has. You get a sudden boost when you find out that the giraffe didn't die after all, and he was revived by his zebra friend.
And his neck's completely whole. That's some kind of physiotherapy. Yeah.
And they ride off together into the sunset, so that's a nice close, I think.
All is good in the world again.
Yeah, it's a pretty good thread overall. I think it encompasses pretty much everything that's awesome, back to back.
ReallyLongNecks.com. I'll tell you what, this reminds me of a game we used to play. It could be one of our new sections. It's called Sight or Shite. Now, fat Russian babes, sight or shite.
I'm not typing it in.
it was shite. Homo Royale, sight or shite.
I'm going to go with sight.
No, it's shite. It doesn't exist. I'm just going to open up. I'm just going to register that. Donkey Dong. Sight or shite?
I'm going to guess sight.
That's a sight. Yeah, there's nothing on it.
All right, I got a point for knowing DonkeyDong.com. Never thought this day would come. I've finally been rewarded for my browsing habits.
HornyLadyBoys.com.
Shite.
You saying shite? Oh, it's a site, all right.
No.
Yeah. Oh God. What? There's no ladyboy. There's no ladyboys there. Oh wait, ethnic tranny joins hot cotton for sex. Oh God, that is a shemale.
Wow, you know what song really or site really exists? Al'sGayPornStars.com. I have a little bit of a side business going on, Dewey. We've got to put you in hard times. This is how you're paying the bills these days. Your free gay porn ring.
What is it? Al's what?
GayPornStars.com.
Shut up. Oh, good God, it exists. That's a mental.
What's funny is I like how the conversation influences opinions of things. Like, I'm looking at the zebra on top of the giraffe picture, and it has an entirely different meaning to me right now.
I'm still looking at all these gay porn names.
So this is what you do when Mandy goes to bed?
I've turned off images. And by turned off, I mean I'm just holding my hand up so I can't see them. There's no good names. Like, there's not a Dirk Diggler amongst them. What's going on?
Aaron, what's your topic for this week?
My topic for this week is, what previous game franchise would you like to see return, by Araika Awesome 92. I think the title pretty much explains it, but a couple of people had some good ideas in that thread. Like Araika Awesome put Mystical Ninja starring Goemon franchise, the Rayman series, Glover, Ice Climber, Beautiful Joe, Duke Nukem. Yeah, what do you guys think?
Well, it's not a franchise, but Rare needs to take the people from the anticipation box and make an adventure game starring them, like Yellow Shirt Guy.
What?
Nobody here has seen the anticipation box, have they?
I haven't.
Yeah, I kind of just fell silent.
You people have no class.
We do have classes, that's why we don't have time to read about the anticipation box.
Yes.
Nintendo's first video board game. But yeah, these guys definitely deserve an entire series of games.
Exactly.
How many Larry dogs can the girl in the bottom left corner intimidate the game? How many videos in Al's Gay Web Ring can the guy in the top middle be in?
There was a game on the Super Nintendo that I really liked, Secret of Mana. And I don't know if it had any sequels or prequels or anything else, but I'd like to see that at least come back, even if it's a remake.
Has anybody played Spy?
I haven't.
Oh, it was awesome. It was on the Commodore 64. And I think it was the first game to have like a split screen. And you basically played as a spy. And you had to assemble certain items. Like one of them, you had to assemble, I think it was a submarine. Yeah, so you just go around and you like set traps for the other spy, and you've got a map and you can just see where they are, and you can just set like traps on filing cabinets and on doors and stuff. I think they actually did do a newer version on the PS2, but I think it was shit. If it actually came out, but Spy v Spy on the Commodore 64 was just awesome. I know what you mean now, Larry. They're rubbish. They don't know what they're on about, do they? They don't know anything about games. Spy v Spy, how can you not know about Spy v Spy? Admittedly, I didn't know about Anticipation Box, but still. So yeah, that would be mine. If I could remake a game, it would be Spy v Spy.
What about you, Aaron? What would you like to see?
That's a good question.
Just brief intermission. There's like 85 versions of Spy v Spy. Just throwing that out here. Spy v Spy, Spy v Spy, The Island Caper, Spy v Spy, Arctic Annex, Spy v Spy 3, Spy v Spy 2, The Island Caper.
Yeah, Amstrad, Apple, Commodore 64, Amstrad CPC, BBC, and the ZX Spectrum. Yeah, they're really recent.
Xbox, PS2.
I said there was one on PS2, but it was shit. Doesn't count.
Well, that's a good question. I don't really play that many different franchises, but I was looking at a couple of the posts here, and Mandolin was saying that he thinks the Donkey Kong Country trilogy should be continued. I could see that. I think I'd like that. Only if Rare did it, though. So I guess it would be just in my dream world.
What else would be in your dream world? I mean,
dream. I'm not going to answer that.
Tonight, I'm guessing Larry's dogs and Al's gay Weber in. We're all going to have bad dreams tonight. I have two. One, the first one I'll cover real quick because there's not that many people that played this game in the first place, but it was called Mischief Makers, and it was for the Nintendo 64. And I always really liked that game. It was by Treasure, and I always was hoping that they were going to continue that, but they never did. So, I don't know. I still think it was one of the N64's better titles. And the other one is Super Mario RPG. I would continue that. Not in the spin-off forms like they have with the queer ones where Luigi dances for half his battle moves and stuff like that, or any of the Paper Mario ones, because I think that those were all inferior to the Super Nintendo one. I want one of the Square Enix type Super Mario RPG. You know, every enemy isn't an actual enemy from the Mario universe. There's actually different type of stuff, different main characters, stuff like that.
I'd really like to see a sequel to Super Mario RPG. That's my favorite too. What I was going to say though was, have any of you guys played the like Cruisin' USA, Cruisin' Exotica, Cruisin' World? Those were some like racing games for the N64. I think there are also arcade games too, but yeah.
I played the Cruisin' USA game. I didn't play anything else.
I couldn't really think of anything just that popped into my mind, but I haven't really played any good racing games in a long time. So I think that'd be cool if they kind of reinvented that in a more modern way.
Well, what could they do with racing games, though?
Well, it doesn't have to be anything like innovative or really new. I mean, just kind of like a continuation of that series.
Cruisin' GT, Burnout Paradise.
I don't think there could be enough racing games, really. You know, I think they're just a really good genre, isn't it? I think. So what's next, Calvin?
Okay, well, we'll move on to my thread for this week, then. Modding Xboxes equals 10 years in jail, started by GreatMan3388, and some kid was modding Xboxes for a profit, and now he's facing up to 10 years in jail. And to me, that seems like a ridiculous amount of time if he should get any time at all.
Oh, he's only facing it. I thought he'd actually gone.
Last I heard, he was only facing it. He hasn't got it yet.
Oh, okay.
What's the story behind it? Did he, like, sell the Xboxes, or is it just for his own use?
From what I can tell, he, like, his friends and that would bring around their Xboxes, and he'd charge them for modding the Xbox so that they could play pirated games. So that was all. Like, he wasn't actually getting Xboxes and modding them and then selling them off as such.
To me, it's like the same thing if you're illegally downloading music or movies. It's the same basic concept. Like, when you hear about, like, this little girl or some grandma that downloaded 5 songs off the internet and then they're charged with, like, $100,000 fine and facing 5 years in jail. It's, like, the same thing. It's really stupid.
I think this one's even stupider, though, because this guy's not actually getting busted for downloading anything illegally. He's just modifying the Xbox, which I know that this is up for legal debate, but in my opinion, I think once you buy something, you should have the full right to do whatever you want with it. Like, if I want to take my iPhone and hack the shit out of it, I should be allowed. If I want to take my Xbox and, you know, fuck with it, do whatever I want, I should be allowed because I bought it, and I should own the full rights to the hardware and the software on it.
I agree with that.
So then, you know, at least the people that are stealing music and that are actually stealing something, I mean, obviously, they're $14 million fines and their 74 to life years in jail is ridiculous. But I mean, at least I think that those cases are even more justified than this, which is pretty sad.
Okay, email of the week.
Email of the week is from Kazooie Tui, and it says, "Hey podcast, I have a question regarding Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. If you were to make a Nuts and Bolts a new IP, who would be the main character? Would you make it an old rare character like Bumper the Badger, or be creative and make it a brand new character like Lasers the Chipmunk? Thoughts?"
Tip top. Yeah, that's pretty much the answer. This really isn't an opinion question.
I'd make it a new character.
The giant from Banjo-Kazooie of old. Because let's face it, those levels in Nuts and Bolts were so big that only a giant would. So yeah, the answer to that then is Tip Top.
Aaron, do you concur?
I think it should be Tip Top.
All right, GM2K, looks like, as usual, you're wrong.
That's all we have for you this week. I'd like to thank Aaron, Larry, Rich, and Al for joining me. As I said at the start of the show, this is the Season 1 finale, so we'll be taking a break. But don't worry, we'll be back soon enough with your favourite segments and some new ones as well. Feel free to continue sending emails to podcast@rarewitchproject.com. If we do read your email on the show, you'll get a nice little trophy on the forums. If you like the show, please subscribe and review it on iTunes. It does all help. And of course, feel free to leave comments on our forums. I'd like to thank those involved with making the podcast each week, and of course, a big thank you to everyone who listens. This recording may not be redistributed or broadcast without the express written consent of the Rare Witch Project. It is intended for private use only. Copyright 2009. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Co-founder? What the hell? I made it with my own hands.
You just picked up the bits from the bit bucket and assembled them in order. Yes, Lord Ice Mario, you are sexy. How can you be pleasured again so soon? I have just recently got my mouth off of it. I commend your longevity, Lord Ice. Mandy must be a happy woman. What makes that bit suck the most is that I do a terrible robot voice, so it just sounds like me saying it.
No, I think you did really well. Gray. Your voice is very sexy.
Not a dolphin, is
it? Mexican.
And that's what not a dolphin means.